We are continuing our series, the journey, a path to spiritual maturity. And we've been challenging you each week to grow deeper in your spiritual life. And today I ask you, where is your treasure? Beginning in chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus is teaching and he says, "Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, help us to be generous people that are willing to share the abundance we have. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about generosity, what comes to mind? When you think of a generous person, what do they look like? What do they do? What is it that makes them generous? You know, when I read the scripture and how Jesus gave of himself freely, it makes me realize that God is a generous God. And I examine my own life and how God has blessed me. It makes me realize that God is a generous God. When I look at the life of the early church, I see story after story, model after model of generous and faithful Christians. When I walk into this beautiful building and its magnificent facilities, and I see the amazing volunteers and our terrific staff, I see examples of faithful generosity. And it helps me to realize that being generous is a spiritual discipline. Now, I only preach about money and finances a few times a year, but today is one of those days, and I want us to think about what it means when we think about financial generosity. Because making money, earning money, saving money, and giving money is a spiritual act. Now, maybe you're thinking, hold up, Pastor. Past few weeks, you've been talking about prayer and worship and reading the Bible, and last week even got us uncomfortable with serving. But money? How can money be anything spiritual? The truth is, our money is a deeply spiritual matter, and what we do with our finances is perhaps more important than we realize. And in our quest to be generous people, it's not always easy. For example, try as I might, I want to be a generous person. Yet there is this internal conflict within my mind and my heart that is raging between the scriptures and my wallet. Anybody here a wrestling fan? I'm not much of a pro wrestling fan either, but I have friends who love to talk about WrestleMania with its over-the-top drama and crazy, dazzling, choreographic acrobatics. And hearing them talk about it makes me think about my wallet saying, "You'll never get me." And the scripture gets up on the ropes and does this dazzling jump in a show of force where it body slams my wallet, and my mind and heart are watching it be pinned and making the three count. I mean, I know what God says about our money and about possessions, that everything on earth is God's and we are simply stewards of it, that our possessions are only entrusted into our care for God's glory and God's work. And when we read our Bibles, we find that it says a lot about money, only second to God's presence and love. But here in our scripture today, Jesus knows of how important it is to us, and he says, "Watch out! Stop collecting treasures for yourself, stuff, things, money for yourself here on earth. And when he says this, I think he was talking specifically to me. You know, sometimes we want to poke our neighbor and say, hey, he's talking about you, pay attention. Well, when I read this, it's like he says, Daniel, stop collecting treasures for yourself here on earth because you can't take them with you. They're going to rot. See, once upon a time, we owned our own home, and it was a nice home, and it was full of stuff. And then we made the decision to move to Dallas so I could attend seminary. And we knew we were only going to be there for a few years, so we didn't take everything, and we didn't want to sell it all, so we got a storage unit. Yeah, you know where this is going. A 10 by 30 storage unit, a large one, and we stuffed it full. And there it sat for 12 years. We could have burned that storage unit down and bought everything brand new for what we paid on rent. It was a complete waste of time and space and money. And most of what was in there ended up ruined. We were prime examples of holding on to our earthly treasures. Anybody else ever experienced something like that? Yeah. Well, Jesus knows this about us. He knows our heart. He knows that we tend to put our possessions and our things really high in our priority list. And so he makes it clear that our relationship with money is so important because it can either sabotage our spiritual life or deepen and support it. And he encourages us to use what we have, our time, our gifts, our talents, our resources, what we've been given, what we've earned, to deepen our spiritual life and bring us closer to God. It said Jesus goes on to say, collect treasures for yourself in heaven. And notice they're not just treasures in heaven, but they're treasures for yourself in heaven. Meaning that when we invest in the kingdom of God, we are investing through our gifts and our giving with things that won't fill up our storage units or things that won't make our houses bigger, but on things that are guaranteeing a return on our investment, on things that won't go to waste, on things that are enhancing our ministry as Jesus works through us. And if you ever want to see where you're at on this, just take a financial selfie. Look at your checkbook, your wallet, your bank statements, your tax returns, and where does the paper trail lead? Does it lead to more of our stuff? More seeking more power and money and influence? Or is it being invested in the kingdom of God? And too often, when we have more, when we make more, when we earn more, it becomes harder to practice generosity. Statistics from the IRS show that the wealthiest earners, the biggest earners in our country, tend to be the least generous when it comes to a percent of their income. As believers, we believe that wealth is a blessing from God. After all, according to the Old Testament, wealth is a blessing from God. Yet just because we are wealthy doesn't mean that God has poured out special favor on us or holds us to any higher regard. And Jesus wants us to understand that money doesn't make us good people. He says the sun shines and the rain falls on the good and on the bad. And he emphasized in his teachings, he wants us to be sure that we understand this dangerous trap that we can get in. He says in Luke 12:15, to watch out, to be on guard against all kinds of greed, because one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy. And then he goes on throughout his ministry to give numerous examples, to tell parables, and to talk back to the wealthy and powerful who looked down on the poor, who found their security in their wealth and thereby missed their opportunities to be a part of the kingdom of God. This is why collecting our treasure or investing in heaven, in the kingdom of God, is important. Because it demonstrates that our trust is more in God than in our own wit and wealth. And making this decision is challenging. It's hard to let go and trust God and say, okay, God, it's up to you. It was challenging for me because I grew up in the church and I learned early on that giving was important. I heard the passages, it's better to give than receive, Acts 20, 35, and then also Luke 6, 38, where it says, give and it will be given unto you. As you give, so you shall receive. Yet I wasn't a faithful giver. Sure, I'd give a few dollars here and there, but it wasn't in my heart to dedicate giving on a regular basis. But then in my mid-20s, I read the book of Malachi. It's a short, powerful book. I encourage you to read it. It's the last one in the Old Testament. In Malachi 3:10, God says, test me. What? Test me? We're not supposed to test God. No, God says, and it's the only place in Scripture where God says that we can test him, and it's actually okay to test God this way. God says, test me and see what happens. Bring your whole tithe to the storehouse, to the temple, to the church, and see if I don't open the windows of heaven for you and pour out more blessings than you can contain. Wow. Really? I wasn't sure if I was believing what I was reading. I kind of smirked and then laughed and thought, really, God? Test you, no way. But then I thought about it. I said, well, okay, let's give it a try. And so that very next Sunday, I got out my checkbook and I wrote a check for 10% of my monthly income. I was bringing the whole tithe to the storehouse. And from then on out, that's what I gave. Now, that wasn't easy. I was sweating bullets. I mean, money was tight, really tight, and I was already doing financial acrobats to pay my bills. I didn't have much extra. Yet I was trusting God, and I was putting God to the test according to Scripture. And I must admit, I didn't win the lottery. I didn't even play it. I didn't inherit a windfall. I didn't have some mystery person write me an anonymous check to pay off all my debts. Instead, here's what happened. I found I could make that 90% go further than that 100%. I found that my business was starting to pick up traction. And over the next several years, I tripled my income. I started paying off debts. And I began this financial snowball of making better financial decisions, making more money, and being able to give more of my income. But money wasn't the only blessing. My relationship with God radically changed over the next several years. Not only did I learn to trust God more, but I also found people that spoke love and wisdom into my life who are still dear friends today. And I want to offer an invitation to you that if you want to change your life, if you want to make life better and be better at life through Jesus Christ, then pray about what you give to God through your local church. What I mean is for those of us who are watching online or listening on the radio or watching the TV broadcast, it doesn't have to be this church. Give it to your church. If you give to this church, we will be faithful to use it as we serve God. And anyone can give online through our app or through our website. And for those that are listening, it's fumcmh.org. Or you can mail it to our address at First United Methodist Church, 605 West 6th Street, here in Mountain Home, Arkansas, 72653. And for those of us that are worshiping here in person, you can give online too. You can leave your offering in the plates as you come in the door, as they were brought up here, as we sing God's praises over them. Or you can leave them in the drop box in the narthex, or the drop box by the main door, or just bring it into the office. We don't want to hinder your ability to give. But if you've never given before, I invite you to pray about it. I encourage you to pray about it and ask God to help lead you. And if you want to give and you don't know where to start, start off with what you know you can do. Examine your finances. What's your income? What does it take to meet your needs? Put something into savings and give something to God. Maybe you'll just start off with 1 or 2% of your income. But if you're a regular, faithful giver, thank you. We are partners in ministry, and I know God is doing amazing things in your life and through your gifts. But keep praying on how God wants you to continue to give in this upcoming year. And if you're already giving 1 or 2%, pray about stepping out in faith and maybe giving 3 to 5%. And if you're already there, what would it look like to trust God with 7, 8, or 9%? And if you're feeling really brave and bold and courageous, maybe even 10%. I truly believe that if Christians and if everyone that called themselves a Christian gave their full tithe, their full 10%, that we would change the world. Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but I think that we could easily fill the needs of the hungry, the homeless, and even the healthcare dependent. And if you're already a tither, consider going above and beyond. Perhaps making a love offering to God to help fund new ministries, to expand current ministries, or to pay off building debt. But whatever it is, you decide. Jesus reminds us that our stuff, our wealth, our finances, they're not our security. They're not what saves us. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, He is the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Heavenly Father except through Him. So may we put our trust in Him and faithfully give to His kingdom. Amen.